Reading of Judges chapter 7 to 8, 17, New Living Testament. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for dear Daddy. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us insight in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for delivering to us what the message you would like us to have. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, we ask. Amen. Judges 7. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight, the Midianites and Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever's timid or afraid may leave and go home." 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will sort out who will go with you and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like a dog. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord said to Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept 300 men with them. Now the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. During the night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Pudah. Listen, eavesdrop to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack." So Gideon took Pudah and went down to the outposts of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had set themselves in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his friend about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His friend said, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, and the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he thanked God. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as my group blows the ram's horn, those of you on the other side of the camp blow your horns and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon!'" It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the outer edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran. When the 300 Israelites blew their horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places far away as Beth Shittah near Zerah, and to the border of Abel Meholah near Tabat. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in the chase after the fleeing army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallows of the Jordan River at Beth Barah." And the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite generals, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites. Afterwards, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites?" And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, "What have I done compared to you? Aren't the last grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb, the generals of the Midianite army. What have I done compared to that?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, they were no longer angry. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men, and though they were exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. When they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Will you please give my warriors some food? They are very tired, and I am chasing Zeba and Salmunna, the kings of Midian." But the leaders of Succoth replied, "You haven't caught Zeba and Salmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we'll feed your warriors." So Gideon said, "After the Lord gives me victory over Zeba and Salmunna, I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and briars of the wilderness." From there, Gideon went up to Peniel and asked for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, "After I return in victory, I will tear down this tower." By this time, Zeba and Salmunna were in Karkor with a remnant of 15,000 warriors. All that remained of the allied armies of the east, were 120,000, had already been killed. Gideon circled around by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbehab, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Zeba and Salmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. After this, Gideon returned by the way of Heres Pass. There he captured a young man from Succoth and demanded that he write down the names of all the 77 rulers and leaders in the town. Gideon then returned to Succoth and said to the leaders, "Here are Zeba and Salmunna. When we were here before, you taunted me, saying, 'You haven't caught Zeba and Salmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we will feed your exhausted warriors.'" Then Gideon took the leaders of the town and taught them a lesson. Punish them with thorns and briars from the wilderness. He also knocked down the tower of Peniel and killed all the men in the town. Whoa. Amen. What a reading. What a reading. One of the areas that I like to talk about before I read Luke chapter 23 is the fact is that the water, remember the water comes from the throne of God, the stream, and when the 300 men got on one knee and then lapped the water with their hands and brought it up to their face, they were probably looking around, turned on with their hand on their sword and with one hand dipping the water and then lapping it like a dog. Can you imagine with their tongue? Gluck, gluck, gluck. What in the world would that be, huh? I probably would have stuck my head in the water in the stream. But only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees. Let's read this again. Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup waters in their hand and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. And the other group put all those who kneeled down and drank with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths. I believe the power was not only in the water, but also in doing the instructions of the Lord instinctively. Amen. Amen. That's why we get on our knees and we pray instinctively to the Father God and we bring him honor. Three times a day, folks. Just like King Daniel, and gratitude. Be grateful for the things we have. Amen. Let's move on to reading of Luke chapter 23, please. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and the other religious leaders along with the people and announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him shortly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I would have him flogged, but then I will release him. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd with one voice. They shouted, kill him and release Barabbas to us. Barabbas was in prison for murder and for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time, he demanded, why? Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. I will therefore flog him and let him go. But the crowd shouted louder and louder for Jesus' death, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die, and they demanded, as they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder, but he delivered Jesus over to them to do as they wished. As they led Jesus away, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country just then, was forced to follow Jesus and carry his cross. Great crowds trailed along behind him, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed for the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts who have never nursed. People will beg the mountains to fall on them and the hills to bury them. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other both criminals were led out to be executed with him. Finally, they came to a place called the Skull. All three were crucified there, Jesus on the center cross and the two criminals on either side. Jesus said, Father, forgive these people because they do not know what they are doing. And the soldiers gamble for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders laughed and scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really God's chosen one, the Messiah. The soldiers mock him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A signboard was nailed to the cross above him with these words, this is king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. One of the words that really cling to my mind for a long time is when Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Amen. You know, we have to forgive others that are, I haven't been able to be enlightened in the things of God. In other words, they're not Christian. They're just mean, and they know how to do mean things when they get the chance. That's why keep yourself diligent in your mouth and when you're dealing with people that do not know Christ, that are not in the fold. Amen. Stay close together, praising God, giving Him thanksgiving, and praying for our enemies, just as Jesus did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise Jesus. Amen. I believe right here where it says that daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children, for the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the women who have not borne a child in the breast. I believe that's when the economy changed, just a few years later, about 40 years later after Jesus died, when Nero came and destroyed all the living spaces in Jerusalem and leveled the city, and everybody spread to different countries. Amen. That's my understanding of that. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and read Psalms 97 and 98 now. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the farthest islands be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up all his foes. His lightning flashes out across the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens declare his righteousness. Every nation sees his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. All who brag about their worthless gods, for every god must bow to him. Jerusalem has heard and rejoiced, and all the cities of Judah are glad because of your justice, Lord, for you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He protects the lives of his godly people and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the godly and joy on those who do right. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. He has won a mighty victory by his power and holiness. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The whole earth has seen the salvation of our Lord, of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and melody song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. Amen. Proverbs 14, 7 and 8. Stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge there. The wise look ahead to see what is coming, but fools deceive themselves. Amen. Notice that this psalm says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and melodies, song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. You know, when I was a young man in the early 80s, I thought about getting my own church started, you know, and I've got a few Bible studies going, and worship and praise with the key elements of changing the atmosphere. Just like they did over here when they blew the horn and they praised God and they shouted and they broke the lantern and get up, for the Lord has given them victory over the Midianites with their songs, with the voice, with the horn and the clay jar. Amen. So we need to say together, for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or say, victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. So today we blow the ram's horn by cranking up the music, praising the Lord, singing songs. It is so easy on YouTube now. We find hymns with lyrics on it. Praise and worship while we do our work, while we do our mingling in the house. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise him joyfully. Sing praises to the Lord with the harp. You know, I believe that the Lord, when the Lord and the elements hear this noise, it changes them to God's will. What is the Father's will? The Father's will is implemented when we attack the enemy with praise and worship, whatever we're going to. The singing will change what we're going to into the Father's will. The Father's will is good, is pleasant, is wholesome, and we have to believe in it, let go, and let God be. Have the courage to, what's going to change anyway if I surrender and praise the Lord? In other words, give the Lord a chance to work on our behalf by singing and praising and acting like the victory is ours in Jesus' name. I know. We had done that before. I've done it many times. Amen. We continue to do it and praise his holy name. We continue to look for water in the desert. That's what we're doing, folks. Sometimes it might take 37 times. We're looking for that pleasant outpouring in the heavenlies by praising and worshiping and being obedient. This is our obedience, reading the Word of God, getting on our knees, praying and singing unto him. Then we get to a point that we start becoming joyful. Once you start becoming joyful, you have brought that inner water to start streaming out. The Holy Spirit, laughter and love start to come out through us digging for water. That's what we're doing right now, digging for water. Thank you for coming on today's reading. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance and give you peace. And establish you in every which good way. Amen. I love you. Reading of Judges chapter 7 to 8, 17, New Living Testament. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for dear Daddy. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us insight in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for delivering to us what the message you would like us to have. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, we ask. Amen. Judges 7. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight, the Midianites and Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever's timid or afraid may leave and go home." 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will sort out who will go with you and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like a dog. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord said to Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept 300 men with them. Now the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. During the night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Pura. Listen eavesdrop to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Pura and went down to the outposts of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had set themselves in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his friend about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His friend said, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, and the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he thanked God. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as my group blows the ram's horn, those of you on the other side of the camp blow your horns and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon!'" It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the outer edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran. When the 300 Israelites blew their horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shittah near Zerah and to the border of Abel Meholah near Tabat. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in the chase after the fleeing army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallows of the Jordan River at Beth Barah." And the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite generals, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites. Afterwards, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites?" And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, "What have I done compared to you? Aren't the last grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb, the generals of the Midianite army. What have I done compared to that?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, they were no longer angry. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men, and though they were exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. When they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Will you please give my warriors some food? They are very tired, and I am chasing Zeba and Salmunna, the kings of Midian." But the leaders of Succoth replied, "You haven't caught Zeba and Salmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we'll feed your warriors." So Gideon said, "After the Lord gives me victory over Zeba and Salmunna, I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and briars of the wilderness." From there, Gideon went up to Peniel and asked for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, "After I return in victory, I will tear down this tower." By this time, Ziba and Salmunna were in Karkor with a remnant of 15,000 warriors. All that remained of the allied armies of the east, were 120,000, had already been killed. Gideon circled around by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbehab, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Ziba and Salmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. After this, Gideon returned by the way of Heres Pass. There he captured a young man from Succoth and demanded that he write down the names of all the 77 rulers and leaders in the town. Gideon then returned to Succoth and said to the leaders, "Here are Ziba and Salmunna. When we were here before, you taunted me, saying, 'You haven't caught Ziba and Salmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we will feed your exhausted warriors.' Then Gideon took the leaders of the town and taught them a lesson. Punish them with thorns and briars from the wilderness. He also knocked down the Tower of Peniel and killed all the men in the town." Whoa. Amen. What a reading. What a reading. One of the areas that I like to talk about before I read Luke chapter 23 is the fact is that the water, remember, the water comes from the throne of God, the stream. And when the 300 men got on one knee and then lapped the water with their hands and brought it up to their face, they were probably looking around, turned on with their hand on their sword and with one hand dipping the water and then lapping it like a dog. Can you imagine with their tongue? Gluck, gluck, gluck. What in the world would that be, huh? I probably would have stuck my head in the water in the stream. But only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees. Let's read this again. Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup waters in their hand and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths. I believe the power was not only in the water, but also in doing the instructions of the Lord instinctively. Amen. Amen. That's why we get on our knees and we pray instinctively to the Father God and we bring Him honor. Three times a day, folks. It's like King Daniel and gratitude. Be grateful for the things we have. Amen. Let's move on to reading of Luke chapter 23, please. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and the other religious leaders along with the people and announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him shortly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I would have him flogged, but then I will release him." Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd. With one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." Barabbas was in prison for murder and for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time he demanded, "Why? Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. I will therefore flog him and let him go." But the crowd shouted louder and louder for Jesus' death, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die, and they demanded, as they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder, but he delivered Jesus over to them to do as they wished. As they led Jesus away, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country just then, was forced to follow Jesus and carry his cross. Great crowds trailed along behind him, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed for the women who are childish, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts who have never nursed. People will beg the mountains to fall on them and the hills to bury them. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other both criminals were led out to be executed with him. Finally, they came to a place called the Skull. All three were crucified there, Jesus on the center cross and the two criminals on either side. Jesus said, Father, forgive these people because they do not know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders laughed and scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really God's chosen one, the Messiah. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A signboard was nailed to the cross above him with these words, this is king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. One of the words that really cling to my mind for a long time is when Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Amen. You know, we have to forgive others that are, I haven't been able to be enlightened in the things of God. In other words, they're not Christian. They're just mean, and they know how to do mean things when they get the chance. That's why keep yourself diligent in your mouth and when you're dealing with people that do not know Christ, that are not in the fold. Amen. Stay close together, praising God, giving Him thanksgiving, and praying for our enemies, just as Jesus did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise Jesus. Amen. I believe right here where it says that daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children, for the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the women who have not borne a child in the breast. I believe that's when the economy changed just a few years later, about 40 years later after Jesus died, when Nero came and destroyed all the living spaces in Jerusalem and leveled the city, and everybody spread to different countries. Amen. That's my understanding of that. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and read Psalms 97 and 98 now. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the farthest islands be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up all his foes. His lightning flashes out across the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens declare his righteousness. Every nation sees his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. All who brag about their worthless gods, for every god must bow to him. Jerusalem has heard and rejoiced, and all the cities of Judah are glad. Because of your justice, Lord, for you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He protects the lives of his godly people and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the godly and joy on those who do right. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. He has won a mighty victory. By his power and holiness, The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The whole earth has seen the salvation of our Lord, of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and melody song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. Amen. Proverbs 14, 7 and 8. Stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge there. The wise look ahead to see what is coming, but fools deceive themselves. Amen. Notice that this psalm says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and melodies, song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. You know, when I was a young man in the early 80s, I thought about getting my own church started, you know, and I've got a few Bible studies going, and worship and praise with the key elements of changing the atmosphere. Just like they did over here when they blew the horn and they praised God and they shouted and they broke the lantern and get up, for the Lord has given them victory over the Midianites with their songs, with the voice, with the horn and the clay jar. Amen. So we need to say together, for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ, or say, victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. So today we blow the ram's horn by cranking up the music, praising the Lord, singing songs. It is so easy on YouTube now. We find hymns with lyrics on it. Praise and worship while we do our work, while we do our mingling in the house. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise him joyfully. Sing praises to the Lord with the harp. You know, I believe that the Lord, when the Lord and the elements hear this noise, it changes them to God's will. What is the Father's will? The Father's will is implemented when we attack the enemy with praise and worship. Whatever we're going to, the singing will change what we're going to into the Father's will. The Father's will is good, is pleasant, is wholesome, and we have to believe in it, let go, and let God be. Have the courage to, what's going to change anyway if I surrender and praise the Lord? In other words, give the Lord a chance to work on our behalf by singing and praising and acting like the victory is ours in Jesus' name. I know. We had done that before. I've done it many times. Amen. We continue to do it and praise his holy name. We continue to look for water in the desert. That's what we're doing, folks. Sometimes it might take 37 times. We're looking for that pleasant outpouring in the heavenlies by praising and worshiping and being obedient. This is our obedience, reading the word of God, getting on our knees, praying and singing unto him. Then we get to a point that we start becoming joyful. Once you start becoming joyful, you have brought that inner water to start streaming out. The Holy Spirit, laughter and love start to come out through us digging for water. That's what we're doing right now. Digging for water. Thank you for coming on today's reading. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance and give you peace. And establish you in every which good way. Amen. I love you.